Time to let the little ones get all of that energy out. Big Air Trampoline Park inside Fieldhouse USA at the Polaris Mall has your little ones covered with toddler time. Each Wednesday and Thursday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., open only for jumpers 6 and under, the little ones can jump at their own speed and comfort level without the older kids around. It's a safe, fun outlet for your toddler's energy, and they'll feel right at home on all of the attractions. Plus, they'll have the best nap ever afterwards. Big Air Columbus, where the fun never ends. Visit BigAirUSA.com/Columbus for details.
Money FM 89.3, best of weekends.
Let's talk about our economic map.
Mm.
Being on Money FM, I think that's a good thing to talk about. We just saw in this past week the APEC Regional Trends Analysis Report come out. So happy to have with us Dennis Hugh, who is the director of the APEC Policy Support Unit, to talk about that, about supply chains and global trade and making our recovery inclusive across our pandemic world at the moment. Dennis, good morning. Welcome back to Weekend Mornings.
Good morning.
Great to have you with us, as always, and we're hearing you loud and clear, which is awesome as well.
It's great. Thanks for having me.
Dennis, why don't you start first? Maybe you can give us some of the top line things that you came that you noticed or that you concluded from this regional trends analysis report.
Well, one, of course, the most important thing is that we're looking at a very strong economic recovery this year. Last year, of course, we had that full impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. We had lockdowns, we had travel restrictions and border closures. But towards the second half of last year, we saw a lot of relaxation of these restrictions. We saw a lot of the fiscal support measures kicking in. So for this year, we're looking at a recovery of about 6.3% compared to a contraction of 1.9% last year. So we're seeing quite a strong recovery. Even the WTO is estimating that even trade growth is expected to grow by 10% this year. At the same time, I'm cautiously optimistic. One of the reasons, of course, is there's still a lot of uncertainties and downside risks this year and maybe even in a year or two from now. One, of course, is that we're seeing a resurgence of infections and new types of variants in different parts of the world, even closer to home in Southeast Asia. I mean, we have restrictions here in Singapore. We know that Malaysia's just announced a full lockdown for about 2 weeks, right? So, you know, we have to see how effective various governments are in trying to contain this resurgence. And the key issue here, of course, is to get as many people vaccinated as possible, because the more people that you can vaccinate, the less chances for the virus to spread, and there's less chances of it to continue to mutate. I guess the other main point to be cautious about as well is that there is a disparity in terms of the vaccines that's out there in the world, right? So in terms of our study finds that in terms of vaccine coverage, you get some economies have about 800 up to 800% of population that's too much vaccines. And then you've got other economies that are, you know, as low as 40, 30% or even even lower than that. So that you've got that whole have and have not. So in terms of vaccines, and, you know, the key issue here is to make sure that we can have equal access to these vaccines so that we can basically contain this pandemic. So I think these are some things to look out for.
Yeah, Dennis, the news sounds very positive, and that's great, the projected growth that you mentioned. I'm just curious, and I'm sure our listeners are, as to know the how. How are we going to reach this projected growth? Because looking at it from a layman's perspective, aviation, big hub for us, that's down at the moment. Changi Airport, bigger hub for us, down. Retail, down. F&B, down. Hotel, conferencing, business industry, the MICE industry, down. Events, sporting events, artistic events, down for the foreseeable future. So we know that's going to stay that way for short term, if not longer term. So where is this economic growth coming from?
Part of that numbers that you're seeing coming from us and coming from the IMF is what we call a base effect, because, you know, we contracted by so much last year. So once you see that gradual improvements, and there's been a lot of pent-up demand, right? People are beginning to go out, they want to go and shop, they want to eat out. So you're seeing that being driven a lot by consumption, other matters. But you're right. I mean, there are still a lot of sectors which are going to be really badly affected. I mean, the travel and hospitality sectors, airlines, it's going to take a long time for them to recover. You know, I think there's some statistics that are saying that, you know, it could take about 2 to 3 years, right? So So what you're seeing is you're getting strong economic growth, partly because of that base effect, and also because there's been improvements in consumption. But at the same time, you begin to see it's a bit of a K-shaped recovery, call it, right? So some sectors are doing better, and other sectors it's going to take a bit of time. The sectors that are doing well, we know, are those basically in the online platforms. We're all stuck at home, working from home, so we've all been shopping online. I've been using Grab or Foodpanda to buy food, or we're video conferencing and using Zoom. So these guys and these businesses are doing roaring business. But at the same time, we've got other sectors, your mom and pop shops, retail, it's been taking a while for them to recover. Some of them have closed down temporarily. So, that's one of the reasons why we sort of couch it by saying we're cautiously optimistic. Mm. At the same time, I think what's really important is to try try to stop the spread of the pandemic. I mean, that's what we need to do. And the big difference this year compared to last year is last year in May, we had no vaccines, right? So this time we've got a multiple number of vaccines that's out there. So, all of us need to get vaccinated. I mean, I'm revealing my age. I've got my shots.
Us too.
we've got to get as many people as vaccinated. So that's one of the ways that we can contain that pandemic.
We're talking with Dennis Hugh, the director of the APEC Policy Support Unit, about the new APEC Regional Trends Analysis Report. And Dennis, if I can, one of the things mentioned in your report, and I put the URL on our Facebook Live page, basically you can go to APEC.org and then look for the Regional Trends Analysis Report. You can see that report there. You talk about in the report the disproportionate impact of the pandemic on certain segments, and specifically women, young people, elderly, and the poor have experienced what you call layers of negative impact. And now, while there is a good news story, as you mentioned, you were expecting growth and all of that, there is another side where certain parts of the population are being left out. What did you see, what did you realize in that vein, and how important is that to the overall report?
Yeah, in many ways, the pandemic has actually exacerbated the inequalities that we see around the world, even before the pandemic, right? So, and I think what's happened with the outbreak last year is that it's affected different segments of the society more than others. So you find that, for example, women have, during the lockdown period, women tend to have a disproportionate share of household chores, or homeschooling of their kids. So they tend to exit the market earlier. You also have elderly people with pre-existing conditions. Again, they tend to exit the market also earlier than other workers. And then, getting access to education, you're stuck at home and you need to learn, or you need to take your lectures or lessons at home. Not everybody has access to the internet. I mean, even in the Asia-Pacific region, we've still got about 40% of the population that don't have access to broadband, right? So if you don't have access to these sorts of training or online lessons, then you're going to have less job opportunities, right? Because it's going to take a long time for you to get yourself trained or educated. I mean, the worst case scenario is that you could look at kind of a lost generation of young people that are not in the kind of good quality jobs that they should be. So I think these are some of the things that policymakers need to address. That there is that economic divide. There's also a digital divide because of not getting access to the digital tools that's needed for them, and kind of reskillings that you need for the kind of future work, kind of future jobs that you see out there. So I think these are some things that they need to think about.
We're talking with Dennis Hugh, the director of the APEC Policy Support Unit. And we just had a question from one of our listeners, viewers, come in, Dennis, which loosely touches on something I mentioned before, the impact on MICE, our conference and business industry. Very important key industry that was potentially going to be for Singapore. Many venues were built, as we know, around the Marina Bay area. Will that suffer greatly, Pin Pin Chia asks, since Singapore has focused on becoming a regional MICE venue, or have you already seen that pivot towards online platforms? You mentioned there that digital technology is more available to some markets than it is to others. Clearly, we are a very digital market here in Singapore. How's that looking? Is there any research on that market? Because it was going to be a key market for Singapore, wasn't it?
And I think it still will be. What's happening even this year in APEC, it's New Zealand's the host for APEC, and all our meetings are virtual, right? Mm. And I think what what you're beginning to see in some of these conferences is it's a kind of a hybrid, right? So you have some which are you can actually physically attend these meetings, and others which are basically you can participate virtually. I mean, I've attended a couple of conferences virtually, eventually, it's all a matter of whether we can contain the pandemic. So if we can contain the pandemic, then we could be going back to the kind of physical conferences and meetings that you want to go to. And I personally, maybe I'm old school, I want to see you face-to-face, right? I mean, if you want to do business networking, yeah, it's kind of hard to do it online. You know, you got to meet people, exchange business cards, tell you what you're doing, and you kind of miss that. So I think there's still... I think there's still a place for that, and I think it's really important. So what everybody has to do is try to find a way to address this pandemic. At the same time, I think it's not going to be business as usual, right? I mean, we still need to practice social distancing. Even if we are able to bring down the infections, we need to make sure that contact tracing and all these things will still be put in place, even as we move towards a kind of a post-COVID landscape.
Dennis, when we look even closer, let's say, at Singapore and just our neighboring countries around ASEAN, what are the bright spots here? Where are the opportunities? You talk about everyone kind of pitching in and doing what they can in their own segments. But are there any specifics that you see that look good in Singapore, Malaysia, Indonesia, right in the neighborhood here?
Yeah, I mean, in many ways... you know, that's probably leads to our second part of our report, looking at supply chains, right? Mm. So, yes, we saw supply chains being disrupted last year, but they've been quite resilient. And we've seen a lot of pent-up demand because we're all moving towards digital tools. So there's been a lot of demand for IT equipment. There's a lot of demand for laptops, different types of things. Mm. So... we're seeing actually certain businesses are still doing really well, particularly in the electrical and electronic sectors. And a lot of the global value chains that you have in this part of the world, a large chunk of that sector is in the electronic sector. So you're seeing that increasingly that there's still a lot of production that's going out on right now. In fact, one of the big concerns right now is that there's a global shortage of microchips, right? So the key issue now is that how do you ramp up production to make sure that we can provide enough microchips for your smartphones and right, for your laptops? So and electronic sector is kind of a big industry and a big sector in Southeast Asia and ASEAN.
And a broader question on that, related to it, this idea of production within Singapore, if COVID has shown us anything, with it's the vaccine, Singapore is trying to accelerate the need to build, to create their own vaccines in Singapore, produce their own vaccines in Singapore, food production, they're trying to increase their own food production in Singapore. Is that something you see in the future? Has COVID shown Singapore that we're going to have to almost go backwards in a way and produce more of our own stuff here?
I think looking at food security and making sure that we have enough food, I think is quite a critical issue. But at the same time, Singapore is a very small and open economy. Yeah. You can't produce everything in Singapore. I mean, we can't grow rice here. I mean, we don't have the space or anything. But this is where, you know, being innovative and looking at new types of technology. We know that, for example, in Singapore, there's vertical farming, for example, right, or hydroponic farming. So there's a lot of things that we can do to become resilient. So I see not just Singapore, but even in this region, that we have to be a bit more creative and innovative. And one of the good things is that we've got a lot of different kinds of technology out there that we can use to apply so that we can become a bit more resilient.
Mm. Absolutely agree.
Dennis, fantastic insight today. Really appreciate it. The report is available on the APEC.org website for people to view and look at. We certainly encourage them to go there. As always, great to have you on, and thanks for your insight today, Dennis. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.
Spring is just around the corner, which means cases of cabin fever are on the rise. Lucky for you, Dr. Pepper is giving away a cure in their Cabin Fever Getaway Sweepstakes. One winner will receive $2,500 to get out of the house and go to a location of their choice. You can head to a beach, escape to the mountains, or find a local hideaway. Where you go is up to you. To enter, visit drpeppergetaway.com and submit the entry form. That's drpeppergetaway.com.